Secretary Abrams has agreed to take a few questions. I might just review the rules. We'd like to keep the questions as short as possible in order that we may have an opportunity to hear the answer to as many as possible. Would you please identify yourself before you ask the question?
The question is whether this case that I put here tonight has in fact been presented to the President and Secretary Shultz, and in fact whether it is, I guess it's fair to say, whether it's what is this? Is this my view? Is this policy? What is this? The answer to that is, I think, that this view does represent, and I don't think, I know that this view represents the view of the President and the Secretary of State. I've spent enough time discussing exactly this with both of them to know that it does reflect their view, and that is why we have been attempting to pursue the policy in Central America that we have been attempting to pursue. The problem has not been in the administration where there's unanimous support for this. The problem has been in, remains in the House of Representatives, where procedural tricks are used to prevent us from getting a vote, which the Democratic leadership knows we will win when it finally takes place. But this general view, without holding anybody to the specific words, this analysis does represent the view of the Secretary and the President.
Okay, let's take one from the back of the room, all the way back. I'm sorry, I'm fighting glasses, and I think this is going to be the last year.
That guy was waving to a friend.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, we have a two-word. Did everybody hear that? Or, well, the question at the end: what is the specific goal? Very briefly put, of the administration in Nicaragua, the difficulty being the semantic problem of the administration, in a sense, being accused by liberal critics of wanting to overthrow the government of Nicaragua and denying it. We have a two-word formula for what our goal is in Nicaragua, which is a democratic outcome. What we say is this: nothing will happen in Nicaragua without the resistance forces being able to mount a very large military effort. Nothing will happen except consolidation of a communist regime. As the power of the resistance mounts, there will come a time at which it is possible for the Sandinistas perhaps to negotiate an arrangement with them. At that moment, the Sandinistas will have a decision to make. They could negotiate an arrangement, which is to say they could negotiate a transition to free elections and a democratic system, or they could refuse to do so. Should they refuse to do so, which I suppose most of us would bet on with certain odds, then ultimately the people of Nicaragua will get rid of them. But we have, for a variety of reasons, here I run into the constraints of my job. We have been careful, for many reasons, including the existence of diplomatic relations, to put the formula that way. I'm aware of the constraints that it imposes on us, and I think there is much to be said for the arguments that the policy should be explained in a different manner. But I don't think we need to reach the question of whether it is our goal to overthrow the government of Nicaragua. Our goal is to produce democracy in Nicaragua. If the Sandinistas should decide to negotiate for a democracy, that would be terrific. It would mean that there were fewer lives lost. And should they decide, as we expect, that they will not do that, then ultimately the people of Nicaragua will take care of them.
Let's see. Bob, you had your hand up.
Over time, you know, the president has really done an awful lot on this issue. He spoke to a joint session of Congress on El Salvador, which is a pretty rare event other than State of the Union messages and so forth. And he just spoke recently again on Nicaragua. And he's really done an awful lot on this issue. And so has Weinberger, and so has Casey, and so has Schultz, and so has Poindexter. It is not a salient issue to a large number of Americans yet, and the danger, of course, the tragedy is that it will get to be a salient issue perhaps when it's too late. So it's a tremendous problem, but I would have to say that I don't think there is a quick fix. I don't think that there's anything the president can do right now to change it more than incrementally. And incrementally over, we have 2 years and 9 months to go, and we will keep at it, and I think the numbers will rise. But the fact is that for the average American, it doesn't yet seem like a real big issue. I didn't see a breakdown there by region. I would suspect that there is perhaps more awareness in the southern and border states and more support, if only because of the immigration issue. But I would not actually be willing to accept blame for the administration. There has been a fairly large educational campaign. It's just that it doesn't seem to affect people. People don't understand yet how it will affect them in a very short period of time.
Okay.
First question is, why do we recognize the government of Nicaragua? First, you have to recall that neither we nor really anybody else views recognition as a stamp of approval. We recognize the government of the Soviet Union. We recognize the government of Afghanistan. We have diplomatic relations with Afghanistan. We recognize China, Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, Romania. So recognition is not approval. Why do we keep it open? First, it has certain utility in Congress because it demonstrates a willingness. We got an ambassador there. Anybody in the Nicaraguan government who wants to talk, wants to negotiate with us, there he is. Second, it's a morale builder for dissidents within Nicaragua. It is good and useful for them to have a friend, to have a place to go. Third, and I will state this in as few words as possible for obvious reasons, there is intelligence value. So, you know, that we have no principled commitment to having an embassy in Managua, but for the moment, I would argue that the benefits outweigh the costs. Now, second question is, if I can summarize it briefly, Mexico. We're going to vaccinate Mexico. Having a discussion with Professor Bradford before over dinner about Mexico. And Mexico is a larger problem than most Americans yet recognize. It is, in a way, the second most important country in the world for us after the Soviets. The Soviets because of their nuclear power, and Mexico for 1,000 other obvious reasons. What are we doing to vaccinate Mexico against what's happening in Nicaragua? You know, there is an answer to that question. And the answer is, you got to stop Nicaragua first. The real answer to that question is, stop the Sandinistas, create a democratic pro-Western government in Managua, and then the world is going to look different to the Mexicans. Because whatever you think is going wrong in Mexico, it will go wrong a lot faster if the Sandinistas get consolidated and take over and start to knock off the other pro-American governments. For example, Guatemala and Honduras, which stand between Nicaragua and Mexico. And as those dominoes fall, you'll see change in Mexico at a lot faster rate than, well, it'll make our heads spin. So first things first, and the first thing on the agenda, and it's a lot easier than Mexico, is let us solve the problem in Nicaragua. If we've done that, if we have demonstrated that we have got the strength and the willpower and the foresight to do it, we can then turn to the Mexicans and say to them, now you know which way the balance of power is tipping in Central America. Now you know that we will not permit the Soviets to become the dominant power there. And that is going to have a large effect on internal politics in Mexico.
I think we have time for about three more questions. Michael?